Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man live from Cook's Warehouse and Fashionably, Scott. We are literally a very large stone throw away from Whole Foods. It's so beautiful. I mean, you could just walk literally right next door and get whatever you need. And we were talking, Ann was talking about the chickens from our tender years were smaller, more flavorful. You know, here's another thing that growing up north, I know, shocking, you thought I was from down here. No, my mother never knew what buttermilk was. I never realized how critical buttermilk is to the essence of Southern culinary. Whether you're frying fish, frying chicken, making dressing, making blueberry muffins, I don't care what it is, buttermilk is the mother's milk of Southern culinary.
Yeah, it's very true.
You can borrow that if you want to in your next book.
I like that. I mean, it's essential in cornbread. And, you know, I think a lot of the reason for that is that the early leavening we had in the South and other parts of the country was baking soda.
Yeah.
So it being a neutral, a base, you had to have an acidic ingredient in the recipe for it to lighten and rise and to activate. And buttermilk was the natural. That was the acidic milk. So those two together, when you pair soda, baking soda, and buttermilk, those two create a reaction and will make your cornbread product, whether it's a spoon bread or a cornbread, whatever, rise and lighten and seem lighter.
Now, this is one of the perplexing questions I find throughout the South. Do you like the dry, fluffier, airier, or the dense, cakey-like cornbread?
Wow. I kind of like halfway in between.
Oh,
actually.
Here we go.
Sorry.
Here's a fence walker in.
I know. You know, I do like white cornmeal in cornbread.
Oh,
I do like white cornmeal. And I think that's probably just my upbringing in Tennessee. We like white cornbread. But I really think that I like a cornbread that's not sweet. I don't like sugar in cornbread. I do like to have enough eggs to it for it to hold together. If you're going to do cornbread for one meal, I think it's okay to have that, you know, you throw it, the batter in the pan, it's a little drier, but it's crispier around the edges. You serve it with chili or beef stew or whatever, it's delicious. But if you want cornbread to carry over, you've got to have it dense enough and an eggy enough for it to hold, if that makes sense.
It's interesting that you talk about these things. Now, I don't know if you got this from your culinary experience of the fine culinary cooking school in France, or if this was just stuff you picked up along the street, because really this kind of is the shameless lead-in to your book. This book, Ann Burns Saves a Day, is really a compilation of great recipes that you spent time literally jotting notes down and taking notes for a couple, 3 years.
I did.
And this really is, you know, everybody knows he is a cake mix doctor, and I mean, you've got a couple of series running of really successful books. This was not you didn't just call Peter and say, hey, I got this great idea, did you?
No, I didn't. Actually, the book started very organically. It was those recipes. It was traveling and meeting people like yourself and me saying, okay, well, what are you cooking for dinner tonight? Or, you know, and then maybe it was around the holidays and you think, well, what's your best appetizer? And that's where the conversation always led. And so and eventually a recipe would come out of it, and then there was a story. And I think as somebody who's always written, I've always been a newspaper person at heart, I always love the story behind the recipe. And in all my books, I've tried to squeeze in a story whenever there's space. But with this book, became a collection of stories, and it became Save the Day.
It's a culinary journey for you, really.
Yeah, it is. And these are great recipes. And what
fun.
I love, well, and the recipes are different. They're just a little bit different. They're ones you don't see every day.
Now, I'm not shamelessly plugging the fact that you ought to use this recipe, but we were talking about cornbread. I'm a person that likes flavor. I just love flavors. I don't mind if I get 10 flavors out of one thing, okay? I just love flavors. So I decided one day, I like corn in my cornbread. Someone gave me a sweet cornbread that was cakey, and then somebody else gave me one that had some jalapenos in it. Then another one had cheese in it. I said, wouldn't it be awesome if someone came up with a recipe that had sour cream, cheese, corn, jalapenos, cake.
Everything.
Everything in one slab of cornbread. So my first one was not bad. Second one rocked.
Wow.
And now I have the ultimate cornbread. It weighs about 5 pounds. It puts about 5 pounds per slice on you. But the nice thing is you can use it either way. But that's the genesis of a lot of these recipes. These were people that you knew, people that you met. Everybody wants to, how many freaking macaroni and cheese recipes have people given you over the years?
Only one good one. It was in my book called What Can I Bring? And you actually make a slurry of the flour, the flour with the milk in an onion in like a mason jar. And you shake it, shake it, shake it, and add that to your hot cooked macaroni. And then add the cheese.
But isn't it funny though? I said macaroni and cheese, and you laugh because every place we go.
Yeah.
My mother makes the best macaroni and cheese. My mother makes the best this. You know what? I mean, there are a lot of bitter mothers out there because they can't all do it well.
That's true.
So you have three kids. Now, this is interesting because you have two daughters.
I do.
And a son. Which means the other one's probably a son.
Right.
I'm just guessing here. But you come from a lineage. What is it about your mom's side of the family? Everybody, large amounts of girl offspring.
Yeah, a lot of girls.
Your mom had what? Four sisters?
My mom had four sisters. You know more about me than my husband does, I think.
My goodness. I mean, but then you have two sisters?
I do.
I mean, what is it?
I don't know. It just
is it good cooking?
Maybe. It just sort of worked out that way. Yeah, I know. My son is actually, and he's a fabulous cook. He loves to barbecue. He loves to grill.
Now, see, he loves to barbecue. Does he like to just get in the kitchen and mix it up, or is it barbecue and grilling as his expertise?
No, he likes the barbecue as the sport, as the adventure, as like going out in our woods and chopping down young hickory trees and taking the branch. Oh, I know, Boy Scout style.
Yeah.
Stacking it all up and knowing he's going to use that hickory, or going finding the end of that pecan tree that fell off. And going to use that pecan wood for the chicken. So, you know, he's like a hunter-gatherer. He's into the barbecuing. It's fun.
Well, does he have a big green egg, though? Because that's the ultimate cooking experience.
He does not. He has this, like, big old barrel thing that he ordered from this guy in Knoxville.
He's just cooking.
Yeah, but he's also on his own budget, too.
Well, that does make a difference. Now, see, come on, Ma. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, 3.5 million books, you can't find a big green egg somewhere.
Not yet
in his
for him.
Life.
He's only 16 years old. He's going to still have to pay his own way.
I'll tell you, tough love. Tough love at Casa Byrne. Speaking of Casa Byrne, let's talk a little bit. Anne Byrne saves the day. When did it finally strike you? Because, I mean, you've done so many other kinds of series.
Right.
This was like stepping way out. And I mentioned Peter Cook, like I know the guy, right? Workman Press, Peter Workman.
Right.
He wasn't real thrilled.
Well, they these people know me as the cake mix doctor.
Yeah.
So I went on book tour for both first books, and but when I would have a book signing, people would say, you know, well, we love your cakes, but what do you feed your family for dinner? And that's how the book The Dinner Doctor came about, and then that's why I wrote What Can I Bring, which is not just cake. So, yeah, I think people love my cake recipes, but myself, my life is more than cake. It's, you know, it's fixing supper, and it's having a party, and it's, you know, bringing a potluck dish, like that.
Before we get into your recipes, you worked for the AJC 20 years, food editor.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of the AJC, but I will say this, the food editor, it would be the only section of the paper I could really rely on to have some, something that I could enjoy. And so I didn't like the reviewers. But the food editor seemed to have this. So you were kind of like at the end of the golden era of...
I was right in the middle of it. I was 1978 to 1993. Those were the big, fat, great years for advertising revenues in newspaper world. And the AJC really got a lot bigger during those periods. I mean, the Journal and the Constitution merged during that time, and then the paper as a whole brought in a lot of outside folks and sort of bigger new perspectives. I mean, I got to travel a lot. They let me have a leave of absence to go to Paris and go to cooking school at La Varenne.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great time to be writing about food and a newspaper.
Got away from it and got into your cookbooks, because your cookbooks really... They're a snapshot of everything you believe and everything you've loved over the years, and it makes for great read. It's not just recipes; it's great read.
Yeah, but I'm a newspaper girl to the core. I wrote about fires and train wrecks, and I actually wrote about Elvis's death in 1976.
I remember where I was. I had tickets for his concert that night.
You did
the night that he died.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be in Portland, Maine. But anyway, I digress. But the thing is, so you really were in the golden era, and it was really the beginning of the end of really newspapers as they are today. And so your timing was impeccable, because in 1994, your husband was getting a job offer up in Nashville, so it was a chance for you to go home. Really turned out to be a wonderful deal for you.
It did. I got to go home, and my parents, I got to be around my parents more and raise children in Nashville, my hometown.
I'm telling you, Ann, your life story is exciting, but people want to hear what you're going to present today. So when we come back, Ann is going to set it up, lay it out, and put it in your ears, my friend. Chef and a Fat Man live from the Cook's Warehouse right here in Fashionable East Cobb, right next to Whole Foods. We are going to cook it up, mix it up, and take it to the streets of Fashionable East Cobb. And Byrne is chopping at the bit, baby.